day to you, my dear fellow.
Morning, Holmes. Good heavens. What are you doing with that spear?
There can be no question, my dear Watson, of the value of exercise before breakfast.
Exercise, Holmes? You? Oh, I don't believe it.
And I return with an excellent appetite. But I'm prepared to bet that you will not guess what form my exercise has taken.
Pig sticking, by the look of it.
Brilliant, Watson. Positively brilliant.
Eh? Really, Holmes? Oh, don't dash it. You can't go pig sticking in the middle of the West End.
Nevertheless, that is what I have been doing.
No, 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 Holmes. No mysteries at this time in the morning, please. What on earth have you been doing with that spear thing?
Harpoon, Watson. A whaler's harpoon. I tell you, if you had looked into the back of our butchers a few minutes ago, you would have seen a gentleman in his shirt sleeves using this to stab for all he was worth at a dead pig hanging there.
No need to ask if that gentleman was you, I suppose.
Yes, it was. And I have satisfied myself that by no exertion of my strength can I transfix a pig with a single blow of a harpoon. Perhaps you would care to try after breakfast.
Certainly not. And if you don't mind, Holmes, I am trying to eat my bacon.
Oh, I am sorry, my dear fellow. Come in. Ah, Hopkins, come and take some coffee with us.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes. Morning, Dr. Watson.
Morning to you, Inspector.
I expected to see you, but not so early.
I've spent the night in town. I came up yesterday to report back to Scotland Yard.
And what had you to report, Hopkins?
A failure, Mr. Holmes. Absolute failure.
Dear me. I must look at the matter.
Holmes, may I ask...
My dear Watson, do forgive me. I was forgetting that you know nothing of this matter.
Nothing, Holmes? And I should be very much obliged.
Inspector Hopkins, drink your coffee and give my friend a short resume of what you told me over the telephone. Will you?
Very well, sir. You see, Doctor, we've this dead man, Black Peter, Captain Peter Carey, 50 years of age, sailor and whaler. He commanded the ship Sea Unicorn. Did very well. Retired 11 years ago. Only 39 then. Bought a place near the Forest Row in Sussex. Lived there with his wife and daughter. Two female servants. Always changing. You can't blame him.
How so?
Intermittent drunkard.
Oh, dear.
A perfect fiend when he had the fit on him. Huge fella. A great black beard. Anyway, he built himself a little wooden hut near his house. Called it his cabin. All done up with maps and charts, logbooks, pictures of the sea unicorn and so on. He slept there every night. Well, last Tuesday, he went off to his cabin for the night. Next morning, one of the maids saw the cabin door open, but they were all so afraid of him that they didn't venture near till midday.
And what did they find?
Saw it for myself a few hours later. I can tell you it gave even me a shake. The walls of that hut were like a slaughterhouse. Blood everywhere. And there, right up against one wall, was Black Peter himself, pinned upright by a harpoon, right through his chest, like a beetle on a card.
Great heavens!
The harpoon had been snatched down from a rack on the wall. It had Sea Unicorn engraved on it. Carey was fully dressed, and there were two glasses and a bottle of rum on the table. So, I deduced that the crime was done in a moment of fury by some drinking partner.
It sounds plausible enough to me, Inspector.
Tell me, Hopkins, was there any other spirit but rum in the room?
Well, Tantalus full of brandy and whiskey. But I don't see...
Then let us hear about the things you believe do bear on the case.
This tobacco patch.
May I? Some straight-haired skin. Seal skin, I suppose. There's about half an ounce of strong tobacco in it. Ship's tobacco, I should say. And the initials, PC, on the flap. PC. Peter Carey.
Excellent, Watson, only I understand that Captain Carey did not smoke.
Oh.
What more, Hopkins?
And this notebook here, found it in the blood on the floor. Owner's initials, JHN, and a date, 1883, inside the front cover. Several pages of numbers. Mention of Argentina, Costa Rica, and San Paolo.
And what do you make of those?
Stock exchange securities. I've been through the old stock exchange lists. No one with the initials JHN in the house or among the outside brokers in 1883.
Yeah, but surely these securities can be traced by their numbers.
They're South American concerns. The registers are held over there. I've started inquiries, but it'll take weeks.
I believe there was also a knife found.
Yeah, also on the floor. Mrs. Carey identified it as the captain's.
Inspector, I don't quite see the mystery in all this. I mean, well, could it not be a simple case of intended robbery in which the thief was surprised by Captain Carey, murdered him and made off?
Yes, could be, sir. Nothing seems to have been taken, and he could have had his pick with the captain there dead. Even so, it still leaves us with a murderer to track down.
Very well. Watson, if you can spare the time...
Most certainly, Holmes.
Then if you will call a four-wheeler, Hopkins, we shall be ready to start for Forest Row in a quarter of an hour.
This is what he called his cabin, sir. Now, I don't think you'll find anything. I've been held with less than a microscope, almost. Hello.
What is it, Hopkins?
The lock on this door. I swear someone's been at it since I was here yesterday.
Are there marks?
Yes, quite fresh. Whoever it was must have been a pretty poor burglar. He didn't get it open.
Some curious villager, perhaps, eh, Holmes?
I think that fortune is very kind to us. Someone came here expecting to find the door open. He tried to get in with the blade of a very small penknife, but did not succeed. So, what would you expect him to do?
Come back the following night with a more useful implement.
Exactly.
But tonight, then.
And it will be our fault if we are not here to receive him.
It must be nearly 2 o'clock, Holmes. I tell you, it was probably just some curiosity monger. He won't come again.
Just the same, we must wait and see. Give thanks for a warm night, my dear fellow.
I reckon we should have left the door ajar for him, Mr. Holmes.
No, it would only arouse his suspicions. The lock is a perfectly simple one. It needs only a strong blade, and then... We have not waited in vain.
I can see him. Where? He's getting to work on the lock. Come on.
Now wait. Let him get it open.
He has. He's going inside.
Now then.
Gentlemen! Come on, boy!
All right, then. Stay still. It'll be the worse for you. I'm the police. And this is Mr. Sherlock Holmes. So I'll advise you to say smartly and with no nonsense who you may be and what you think you're doing with the books on that shelf.
You think I'm connected with the death of Captain Peter Carey, I suppose.
Now, let's have your name first, young fellow.
It's Nelligan. John Hopley Nelligan. Mm. But I swear, I'd nothing to do with the murder.
John Hopley Nelligan. Well, what are you doing here, then?
I only want to prevent an old scandal gaining a new lease of life. Did you ever hear of Dawson and Nelligan?
The West Country bankers.
Yeah, that's right, sir.
Yes, I remember, Holmes. They failed for $500,000. Nelligan made off with all the securities, didn't he?
No. Nelligan was my father. Well, it isn't true that he stole. He believed that if he were given time to realize the securities, every creditor would be paid in full. He started in his little yacht for Norway, leaving my mother a list of what he'd taken and swearing he'd come back with his honor cleared.
Did he?
No. Both the yacht and he vanished utterly. We believe that he and it and the securities he'd taken were at the bottom of the sea. Yet some time ago, we discovered that some of the securities had reappeared on the London market. I spent months trying to trace them, and at last I found that the original seller had been Captain Peter Carey. I made inquiries about him and found he'd been in command of a whaler which was due to return from Arctic waters just at the time my father was crossing to Norway. Well, my father's yacht may well have been blown to the north and met by Carey's ship.
Then you suggest that an act of piracy or something of the sort took place?
All I know is that my father and his yacht vanished for good. And that in time this Carey sold securities my father had had with him.
Mr. Nelligan, what brought you to this place in this clandestine manner?
I read of Carey's death. The report stated that the contents of his cabin included the old logbooks of his ship. And I hurried here at once, hoping to get my hands on them and find entries for the month in which my father met his fate.
And this book in your hand, is it the one?
It should have been. 1883, January to December.
Well, then?
See? All the pages for August 1883 are missing, ripped out.
So, is that all you came for?
I swear it is.
And you've never been inside this hut before now?
That's the truth.
Then, How do you account for this notebook bearing your initials? J.H.N.
What?
Found lying in the dead man's blood when his body was discovered.
It can't have been. I thought I lost it at my hotel.
Yeah, well, here it is, you see. And there's the blood stain to prove where it was found.
So I reckon you'd best just take a little walk with me down to the police station. Mr. Holmes?
Yes, Inspector.
I'm very much obliged to you and your friend in coming down to help me.
Not at all.
But it turns out your presence wasn't necessary. All the same, I'm very grateful.
Thank you, Inspector. You're too considerate.
Don't mention it, sir. Now then, Nelligan, come along. And remember, I'll stand for no trouble on the way.
Well, Holmes, that's one for you.
Watson, I had hoped for better things from Stanley Hopkins. The first rule of criminal investigation is that one should always look for a possible alternative.
What alternative can there be here?
The line of investigation which I myself propose to pursue. It may give nothing, but at least I shall follow it to the end.
And where does it lead us now, Holmes?
221B Baker Street. Come along, my dear fellow.
Morning, Mr. Holmes. Dr. Watson.
Morning, Inspector. My word, you're looking breezy.
Thank you for coming so promptly, Hopkins. Stimulated by success, no doubt.
You may be right, sir. You may be right. Now, I can't imagine a more complete case. Young Nelligan admits he arrived at a hotel in Forest Row on the very day of the crime. He said he was there to play golf. And it's plain to me, he went down to Carey's place that night, met the captain at the hut, quarreled with him, killed him with a harpoon. Then, horrified by what he'd done, he fled out of the hut, dropping the notebook he'd brought with him in order to question Carey about those securities numbers. Didn't dare go near the hut again for some time, but at last forced himself to go there after the information he needed.
You say he's confessed to all this, Inspector?
Oh, no. Denies it completely.
I can see only one drawback to it, Hopkins.
Well, some slight detail, maybe.
It is intrinsically impossible.
Eh?
Tell me, have you ever tried to drive a harpoon through a body?
Drive it? Of course I haven't.
My dear fellow, you really must pay more attention to these details. My friend Watson will tell you that I spent a whole early morning in that exercise.
That's so? What?
No, the body was that of a dead pig by courtesy of our butcher. But I can assure you that although I am stronger than most men, I could not achieve it. It requires an arm that is not only strong, but practiced. Now, do you imagine that this anemic youth was capable of impaling another man to a wall with such a weapon?
Well,
is he the man who hobnobbed in rum and water with Black Peter in the dead of the night and then slew him? No, Hopkins. We must seek another and a more formidable person.
You can't deny Nelligan was there that night. His notebook being found proves that.
It would persuade a jury, Holmes.
Yes. And besides, I've laid hands on my man. But this one of yours, where is he?
I rather fancy I hear him on the stairs now.
Eh?
Watson, you will find three men outside asking for Captain Basil.
Captain Basil? Who's he?
You'll see. Kindly show them in one by one, Watson.
Right, Holmes.
Captain Basil?
In here, my man.
You others wait there.
Name, please.
Lancaster, sir. James Lancaster.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Lancaster. The berth has been filled.
But you...
Here's a half sovereign for your trouble.
Well, much obliged, sir.
Just step into the inside room, would you, and wait a few minutes?
Right. Right you are, sir.
Next, Watson.
In here.
Captain Basil, is it?
The same, and you?
Pattens, Captain. Hugh Pattens at your service.
I fear not, Pattens. Here's a half sovereign instead. Watson, get Lancaster and show the two of them out. They are not to speak to the third man on any account. Do you follow?
Of course, Holmes.
Then show him in.
Very well. Lancaster, come on now.
Aye, aye, sir.
You too, Pattens.
Oh, what the blazes are.
This way.
I wish you'd tell me what all this is, Mr. Holmes.
I will show you instead. Name, please.
Little Cairns. Patrick Cairns.
Harpooner.
26 voyages.
And ready to start with an exploring ship?
Ready enough.
Wages?
£8 a month.
Very well. Your papers, please. Thank you. Yes, you're just the man I want, Cairns. Here's the agreement. If you'll just sign it with this pen.
Yeah?
That will do. And
Handcuffs. What the hell do you think?
Strength of a bull.
I thought he was too much for us.
Yeah.
Even with the handcuffs on. Yeah.
This is your man, Hopkins. You may arrest him for the murder of Captain Peter Carey.
Arrest? Blast. Just my luck.
Patrick Cairns, I'm arresting you for the murder of Captain Peter Carey. And I warn you that anything you say...
You say I murdered Black Petey. I say I killed him. When he pulled his knife on me, I whipped a harpoon through him sharp. Call that murder if you like.
We had better hear your story from the beginning.
It was in 83. Black Peter Carey was master of the sea unicorn. He'd just come out of the ice pack homeward bound when we picks up a little craft near to Floundry. Only one man on her, so he takes him aboard with his tin box.
What was his name?
I never did hear. He was shut up with the skipper in his cabin for near 2 days. Then on the second night, the skipper tells the crew the chap's disappeared. Fell overboard, he reckons. Only just one man sees Black Peter tip up that poor chap by his heels over the rail in the dark.
And that man was yourself?
Right.
Well, this was in 83, 12 years ago. Why didn't you go to the police when you came ashore?
Because I wanted Black Peter to pay me to keep me mouth shut. I reckon there was something in that tin box that'd make it well worth his while. And mine. But he left the sea after that voyage, and it was long years before I could track him down. When I called on him in Sussex a couple of weeks ago, he was reasonable. And he said he'd give me enough to make me free of the sea for life if I come back 2 nights later. So I did. He had a room or two together, but I didn't like the look in his eye. I spotted that harpoon hanging on the wall and says, well, I did, for he was on me like a flash.
What did you do after you'd killed him?
I looked round for that tin box. I took it and left the hut, but just as I got outside, I heard someone coming. I hid and watched. I saw a man go slinking into the hut. Next minute he gave a great yell and came out and off as fast as his legs would go.
Young Nelligan.
Who?
Never you mind. What then?
I walked 10 miles to Tunbridge Wells and got a train to London. But when I opened the box, there was nothing in it but papers I wouldn't have dared to sell. I lost my hold on Black Peter and I was stranded without a shilling. I saw an advertisement by Captain Basil for harpooners at high wages. And here I am.
A very clear statement.
Mr. Holmes, I owe you an apology. You were right all along. I'm blessed if I know how you did it.
All I heard pointed in the one direction, the amazing strength and skill needed to pin a man to a wall with a harpoon. The sealskin tobacco pouch with the coarse tobacco and the initials PC.
Here. That must be mine. Where is it?
The inspector has it. It was found in the hut.
And I was wondering where I'd lost it.
The coarse tobacco pointed to a seaman, the sealskin to a whaler. The initials were also those of Peter Carey, too, but he never smoked. Finally, Hopkins, you remember that I asked whether whiskey and brandy were in the cabin?
Yes.
You said they were. How many landsmen are there who would drink rum when they could get these other spirits? So I was certain Carey's visitor had been a seaman. I ascertained the names of the crew of Sea Unicorn in 1883 when I found one Patrick Cairns among the harpooners. I advertised that I was signing on hands for an Arctic expedition and offering tempting terms for harpooners who would serve under Captain Basil. Behold the results.
Wonderful, Mr. Holmes. Wonderful.
Remarkable, Holmes.
You must release young Mr. Nelligan at once, Inspector. Yes. Even though he lied when he said he'd not been in the hut before, I fancy he merely went in, saw that dreadful sight, and fled, as Cairn says.
Dropping his notebook.
Precisely. And I think you should waste no time in conveying your new prisoner to a place of safety. This room is not well adapted for a cell. Mr. Patrick Cairns occupies too large a portion of it.
Yes. Come on, you.
As for ourselves, my dear Watson, I fancy we shall enjoy our morning coffee all the better for having brought our case to a triumphant conclusion.
Coffee, Captain Basil? Shall I ring for Mrs. Hudson, Captain Basil?
If you please, Mr. Mate.